This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Welcome back to Embracing Change. I am Jennifer Osborne here with Lakrita Bowman. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing today, Lakrita?
I am wonderful, Jennifer. How about yourself?
You know, I'm doing awesome. I'm doing just super duper awesome. Can't always say that. It's a really good day. Everything's great. The sun is shining. It's springtime. Just feeling it. So our episode today, this one is episode number 8, and the title of our episode is Chaos to Order. And I love the title of that because you know me, I love to create order out of chaos just in a administrative, creative kind of way. But talking about this with recovery, I think is going to be really good too, because anytime you bring order into a situation that feels chaotic, I think it's a nice like jumping off point for making things that feel impossible seem possible.
Amen.
So I really, really like that. And we've had some really great interviews. I hope you guys have enjoyed the interviews that we had. A lot of different stories, a lot of different perspectives, and how recovery is not just related to drugs and alcohol, but it's related to any kind of life-controlling issue and the hope for a different way of living, a different way of thinking, and walking in more freedom. So where would you like to start today?
I would like to start, you know, when we talk about from chaos to order, I want to talk about insanity. You know, we've all heard the language of insanity is repeating the same thing, expecting a different result. And I think that there's something about our brain that says, in our cognitive thinking, that if I just tweak this a little bit, I'll get a different result. But my belief system says, in order to get a different result, I must do an entirely different thing. And I can't expect just to do the same thing and tweak it a little bit and think I'm going to get a different result, because it's no different than going to a car dealership or a car repair person and saying that you need certain things, but you don't tell him everything you've been hearing. You've not taken enough notes. You've not been present enough to hear the noise and be able to tell the person exactly what you've been hearing, because then he's then trying to figure it out when you may have had more information. So if you tell me half the story, I can only give you half the solution. And most of us are only able to tell people things based on our awareness of them. And so I think that a lot of our chaos comes because we're not as honest with ourselves. And not that we don't want to be, it's just that I don't know if we're aware of it.
Reminds me of a situation you had with someone where they had a key to their car and they did not realize, because they were in the moment, that there was an actual key in there. And I was sharing with you, that was the same with me. Never was aware that there was a key until my son said, hey, click this little button and a key will come out. Because we...
used to the electronic fobs.
Correct.
We've gotten so... It's almost like programmed.
Right.
Into a certain way that we freeze up in the moment emotionally and not become aware, even though this person uses the key actually to start the car. It's not a push-button car, but they were so used to opening the door with the fob that they forgot they had the key inside the fob.
Yeah. I think because you're right, you do get programmed. But in being in a moment where you're not curious, like it just reminded me of, if I had been a little more curious about what that fob was about in this new vehicle with this fob, would have made a difference.
Yeah.
And I know that you're a super curious person. You're always asking questions. And I think if you're going into life in an unhealthy rhythm, you're not asking questions. You're not curious. You don't see those things.
Well, because you believe the order that the chaos has become your order. And so in order to really be more open to a different way, you've got to be willing to let go of the chaotic order you've been given. Mm-hmm. Because the chaos has become your order. You don't even know that, you know, it's just, it's like, I call them, you know, people, patterns, and places. You know, most people in recovery calls it people, places, and things. Well, I call it people, places, and patterns. The patterns of our lives become so conditioned that our brain, we don't even, if everyone would just in one moment close their eyes and just know every morning how they wake up, and they almost, we do the same thing. We are rhythmatic people. It's routine. We just, you know, and in order for us to change the rhythm, we have to be willing to go out of our comfort zone. And for some of us, it's chaotic. And I'm going to give you an example. I am very order. Like, I love order. Like, today before we came into the room, someone else used the room, and the room was a mess. I stopped everything I was doing, wiped down the tables, vacuumed the carpet, because I know that my attention, if I'm not careful, will focus on what's on the floor instead of what I'm doing. So I've had to retrain my brain to know that about me, okay? Now, I don't expect that from you, because then that would be me putting my clothes on to you and my expectations on to you. But I have to have enough awareness about my own patterns that I now know what I need to stay focused. And I have learned that. I'm 60, but it has taken me over the last 29 years to totally be aware and comfortable in my own skin, to be confident that that's what I need. And so that creates me to have, that takes the chaos out of it and put the order, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And when you were trying to find the awareness of how you were, did you just kind of pull back and say, why am I doing what I'm doing?
I believe that what happened is that I think the pain, we talked about in the beginning of this whole podcast about pain. I think when the pain gets great enough and you're not getting the outcome you desire, you have to pull back and say, I've tried everything I know. Why come it's not getting better? And it's usually not because of someone outside of you. It's 99.9 1/4 that it's you.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the pain of your life or the chaos of your life pulls you back. Mm. You don't even do it willingly. You just keep on hitting the wall. I remember going to prison over and 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 over. And the barbed wire has always been there. And I tell people, I don't think they're there to, you know, keep me safe. I think it was there to keep me in. But yet,
yeah,
they didn't have to worry about keeping me in, because as long as I was creating the chaos, I was going to keep coming back anyway. And I wasn't even going to run from it. It was only until I realized that I was the problem. I'm the insane person. Insanity doesn't mean you need to be in a mental hospital. It can just mean that you're doing the same thing and it ain't nothing changing. And that's the way that we think, and that's the chaos we get used to. Those are the patterns of how we live our lives. And without having exposure to something different, you believe you are naturally like that, or that's normal, when I know normal is nothing but on a washer and dryer cycle, on a wash machine or a dryer. And yet, that's what you begin to believe, that this is the only way there is. You have no other option. And that's what order do. Order gives you other options, other opportunities. But I think you have to be present enough to see it. So you ask me, did I have to pull back? Yes. And I think all the interviews that we got over this last, in this season, if you listen, the real thread to all of them, they were in chaos. They were in pain. And so recovery wasn't about some people never took drugs, but they were still in the same pain and they were still creating the same chaos. It was only until they were willing to look at the chaos and the pain was they willing to put some sense of order and steps in the way that they could follow to kind of, it's almost like leaving a breadcrumb to come out of a maze. And how you create that is what is best for you. And the same thing that I did may not be good for you, but it was good for me. So I can give you the wisdom of some of the steps I've taken, but that don't mean that's the way God is going to get you out of it. So I think you have to be present enough of your, be aware enough. You cannot even change something you're not aware of. I think awareness is the biggest, and that's being awakening.
And being authentic too, I'm sure.
I don't even know if a person can really be authentic until they are aware of their need to be awakened. And awakening is not just about sleep. It's about not being present. Not your eyes are open, but your mind is closed. So you're not even aware of what you're not even awakened. Your mind is not even open to another opportunity because you don't believe. And I believe the belief system has everything to do with order. How I believe. The Bible says first I must believe. And so it's whatever my belief systems are. So I believed what I was doing all those years were the right thing to do.
Or maybe the only thing to do.
Or the only thing to do because I had bought into the survival mindset of chaos. And I was creating my own abuse. After a while, I couldn't keep blaming, you know, my mother for giving me away. That was not my trauma. Giving me away was not my trauma. It was how my mother giving me away to my foster mother. I'm gonna talk about that a little bit in this podcast about revelations I've gotten just since, you know, this last year in COVID and coming out of it in 2020 and 2021 about how close I kept my foster mother, how I was protecting her, and why was I protecting her? Mm. What was that about? Mm. Where was that coming from? Because I now know, reading some of the books and studies and researches I've been doing, that I had almost, let me tell you, the real chaotic truth. See, we gotta know what truth is. And so all these years, it was like blinders falling off my eyes. I think about Paul in the Bible in Acts 9, and he was riding down and doing what he always done, and he believed what he was doing, killing the Jews and killing Stephen, even was the right thing to do. Until he was blinded, and Ananias had to give him his sight. And the Lord asked Paul, "Why do thou persecute me?" Paul thought he was doing a good thing. He believed in God, but the way he was going about it was absolutely dysfunctional.
Yeah, it was not the right way.
And that's the same thing with trauma and things that happen to us. We'll still live in layers of the chaos and not really take full responsibility of the parts we've played. And hopefully, everyone that we heard in the interview, you can see different threads that they had to take self-responsibility, and not with guilt and shame, but responsibility to respond with the ability they had, and what they didn't have, find other people to help them carry the load until they were able to look at the truth for themselves.
Yeah, and that just reminds me, there's such a fine line between knowing you need to take responsibility or not. Like, there are lots of folks that are coming out of, you know, whatever life-controlling issue they may have, but understanding that they have to take some responsibility for their recovery or looking at the things they did. And sometimes when you're just starting to recover, you don't always see that. But it's like a huge light bulb going off when you go, oh, I need to take responsibility for that. And this is what I did. And
this is how I reacted to it. And this is how I continue to behave.
Yeah.
And so I take responsibility for my choice.
Right.
But not other people's choices.
Right. And not in getting out of that. It can almost be a spiral of, I am the way I am because of them, or that person, or this happened.
Or because that happened to me, or because this happened. So we still really have not become, when you talked about authenticity, we have not gotten to the level of authenticity until we can totally look in the mirror, as we talked about in the last episode, and see who's mainly responsible for the change we want.
Yeah, yeah.
People can support me and help me, But until I'm willing to take on the load of my own responsibility, they can help me all they want, and I will still end up in the same place.
Yeah, yeah. And I like that you say, and it's a good reminder, that it's not about shame. It's not about shaming yourself. Oh, look what I did. It's just understanding that you did have choices. You do have choices. You will have choices. Like, that's always before you. And not just dismissing it. But that, like I said, there's that fine line. But I think once you get over that line, you're like, it's huge. It's just huge.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the chaos creates a lot of the diseases we have. That's mm-hmm. why, you know, the book, When the Body Says No. You know what I'm saying? And there's times when in myself, my body has been tired, and I could hear my mind push me past my body's response. And I wonder then why it takes me longer to heal from something, because I wouldn't sit still long enough to let my body heal. Mm. Pain is an indication that something's present, but it's out of order. So if I'm tired, because sleep ain't rest. A lot of people think resting is sleeping. No, it's not. You can be awake and still be rested and resting with your eyes wide open, just being still, centering yourself.
That's good.
And a lot of times we think because I had 8 hours of sleep, I have had rest. No, because if you look at the rhythm of your body and you really do a sleep study, they can show you how much actual sleep you got. And so if you didn't get enough sleep and you didn't get the REM sleep and you didn't get the right levels of sleep and you didn't get the dreaming and you didn't get all the stages that our body was created to do, you didn't do nothing but keep your eyes unconsciously closed while your body was flipping like a fish out of water all night. So resting and sleeping are two different things. And so when I was reading this book about When the Body Says No by Gabor Mate, which is an MD, which, you know, he talks about knowing that a lot of our diseases, even cancer and heart disease and stress, you know, exploring the distress disease connection, if when we push past our own bodies, when our body is giving us a signal and it's saying, hey, something's present, but it's out of order. And us exploring, and it goes back to the conversation you and I had today, and we was talking about you going to your doctor with your arm, and, you know, if you're not healthy, you do yourself or me or your husband no good, because our health is one of the greatest wealth that we have, because our body carries everything around for us. Mm. It's the vehicle that gets us into life and gets us to doing things. And if we don't take care, some of us take care of our natural automobile better than we do our bodies.
Boy, isn't that true.
And so when I was reading this book and exploring some of the things he was saying, it was just amazing how that's so true. And I know for me how many times, because I was still looking for validation, and so that outside of myself, which is also a part of chaos. Because you can never get enough of being validated and filled up outside of you. Mm. You will always need more. You will always be empty. There will never be enough compliments. There will never be enough work. You will work yourself to death. And this doctor, he talks about it, that his addiction and his recovery was not about drugs and alcohol. It was he was a workaholic. He never had his children. He never was at home. And you wonder, he had to go back to the source of where did that start from? It started from him being his native, I think he's, where was the guy that killed the Hitler? What he killed?
Germany.
Germany.
Okay.
So he's from Germany. And so he was in, his mother was in that. And so she was pregnant with him. So it started in the womb. So she was running for her life. Hmm. And so the separation of he was not good enough unless he worked hard to get people to see him. So he became a doctor, even an MD, to just have the attention of his mom.
Wow.
So it's just so many things that you don't even realize where the source of. You do have to look at asking yourself self-compassion, where it says it's self-inquiry. Where is that coming from? Not why did I do that, but where did that come from? Where did that thought come from? Where did that feeling come from? And so if your body is the vehicle that tells you something's present but out of order, you need to listen to it.
That's good. That's good.
And so, you know, you think about, you know, I think it's like before we talk, we should listen. Before we react, we should think. Before you criticize, wait. Before you pray, forgive. Before you quit, try. Some of us haven't done none of that. And we automatically think order is just going to come out of the sky and fall down on the table. And it's some mysterious thing that's going to happen. And I'm just going to show up and life is just going to be at peace. No.
If only or that easy.
If only it was that easy. I think we all do it. We wouldn't have black on black crime. We wouldn't have people stealing people's stuff. We wouldn't have, you know, power in politics because we just show up and everything would just line up and all the order would fall down and we'd all be in harmony and we would all just be get along. But that don't happen.
Right.
Because we're not getting along with ourselves.
Yeah.
I can't get along with you if I don't get along with me.
Yeah, you can't be at peace with others if you're not at peace with yourself.
Exactly.
Right?
So it all starts with what is your body telling you? And then we talk about attention deficit disorder. You know, not being able to stay focused. He wrote a book called Scattered, and I read that, and that was so powerful because we wonder why we're all over the place all the time. Why are we doing five things at one time and none of them is getting done well? Because we like chaos. We are addicted to chaos. Hello, everyone. Say hi. My name is Lucreta. And for a long time, I was addicted to chaos. I loved chaos because chaos created me to have a false reality of power, of validation, of control, of just the world was at my fingertips and the way I wanted it to be is the way it was going to happen.
You were strong.
Exactly. Yeah. I was invincible.
Yeah.
I am woman. Hear me roar. And I could do anything. And what I was doing was killing me. And I wasn't doing anything well because I wasn't present enough to even enjoy the great things that might have been happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my attention was a deficit, and it was depleting me to even enjoy the moments that was present. And so when I read his book on Scattered and looked at some of the things, it's like, where does, you know, disorder, where does it originate from? It says, what can we do about it? It's like we can start looking at why is my brain wired in so many ways? And I do believe that there's some chemical imbalances, so it's not all or nothing, y'all. It ain't black or white. It's gray in the middle. Let's stay there.
It's and in both.
It's and in both. Because, see, that is, if we don't do that, we'll be all chaotic right there, too. So, no, it's and in both. So I think that there are some that may need medication and may need some special help. But I'm telling you, I have learned how to pull myself back and stay in the moment. Like I shared earlier, when I came into the room, I knew that I needed to vacuum the room, clean the table, do what I needed to do. So even in my level of knowledge, knowing that things were all over the floor, it wouldn't distract me from talking to you and staying focused. I'll just remove it from the floor. The other day, in my own home, I love order so much that, I mean, I love it. Like, I love stuff to be in this place. Let me tell you why. And that was such a revelation for me. I like it because I understand that the world is chaos. And I can have one piece of life that can be in order for me. I don't need to have the whole world in order to be okay. But there is a piece of my life that I can't have order in. So when I like to dust my dresser drawers and rearrange them and put them in order, I had my two shelves and they was just chaotic, and we had our vitamins in one thing, and it was just, you know, it's like this thing that opens up, it's a chest, has two shelves. I had my perfume on one level, and then we had our medication, like vitamins and all in another. And I don't understand why I wasn't in the medicine cabinet, but hey, they were in this drawer, and they've been there for years. Me and my husband's been married for 28 years almost, and so this is where they've been. And so my husband is used to them being there. So, of course, I've always wanted to move them. But again, because when you are in a marriage, you also learn that there's a need to respect each other's boundaries, even though you're one. And so he's used to this. But the Lord showed me, and it was such a revelation, that there's nothing wrong with what you want to do, but the way you do it matters most. So he showed me that you can still have the order you want. So I went to the dollar store, got these little baskets, and put the stuff in the different baskets and put the order in. Now they're all ordered, my perfumes, the medicine. So now, like, if I want to dust, I don't have to take everything out. I can just take the baskets out. And so now I got to train him, though, to make sure he puts the stuff back in the baskets the right way. So today, I asked him, do we want to take the whole basket of vitamins and put them on his dresser drawer? He has the top. You want to do that? And he said, they're fine just right here. He's like, why do you want to move them? And I was like, oh, I just thought maybe you might want to put them in there, and that way you don't have to come in here every day to get them. He's like, no, I'm used to it. And see, but I was really manipulating him a little bit. I was trying to get him to take them. So every time I go in there and he doesn't take his time to put them back in the basket, I don't have to. And the Lord said, there's the chaos. The chaos is not with him taking them into the next room. The order is your ability to know how to consider him higher than you. Mm-hmm. That's what the order is. It's not about the medicine vitamins in the basket, Lucretia. It's about considering him as important as your order. That's what matters most.
What's the scripture? Consider others more important than yourself.
In Romans 12:3, I think it is. So I'm just saying, don't think yourself higher than others.
Yeah.
Consider other people higher than you. And so that, to me, was greater. The revelation for that was worth me getting the baskets and putting the pills in them, because I got the greater order out of the chaotic moment.
You got great perspective.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And so that creates order. Perspective creates order.
Yeah.
And so for me, it helped me not to be insane and have the steps of insanity. You know what I mean? But it was such peace that I found when I could hear that small, still, peaceful voice inside of me that sounds like me but will tell me things that I would never tell myself, is that your order is not in the basket. It's in considering what your husband needs greater than you.
That's powerful.
And I was like, oh my God, that's so amazing. Thank you. And I still have the baskets, and they still are in order, but the bigger picture. But if I hadn't went and did the baskets, he knows I'm a visual person. Maybe I wouldn't have got that perspective today. So it's always about being focused in the moment and being present. I understand that nobody's perfect and nothing's perfect, but we don't have to give up presence for perfection. I would rather be present than being perfect. And that is order for me.
It reminds me of, there's a local church, and they have volunteers that do a lot of things for the church, and those volunteers are doing tasks. But they'll tell every volunteer coming in, the person is more important than the task. So if you need to, with your teammate or whoever you're volunteering with, if they need you, you focus on the person, not on the task. Now, mind you, the task needs to get done, and it will, but that's just a trust in God that because I'm focusing on the person, because I'm, you know, adhering to your command to love my brother as myself, that you will bring, just like you're saying, the order. So that's exactly what that reminded me of with those baskets.
Exactly. And not only that, you know, it's the yin and the yang symbol with the, you know, Chinese ancient philosophy, philosopher who says it's a dualism, the idea of dualism. It's and in both, order and chaos. You know, sometimes the order comes out of the chaos and sometimes the chaos comes out of the order. You just have to be willing to be flexible enough to be open to see which one is necessary first and then go accordingly. And that's what I've learned, is that I still do like order, but it's the world that I live in. Like, I have these pillows on my bed, and I'm telling you, every morning we make the bed, and I put these pillows on, and I said, this is probably the only perfect present order I'm going to get today. And Lord, thank you that the pillows are sitting on the bed in such order. Thank you.
Yeah.
And you ought to see me when I'm doing those pillows.
I get it.
I mean, and it's like the world is humming back, like heavens are opening. And the world, the sky, and the sun is shining down saying, ah! And I feel like in that moment that I can control the world in that moment just with the pillows. And I realized that, though. So as long as I stop it there, then I have the peace. It's when I try to take that and do it in everything that I get my chaos.
Because then you're moving past creating order. You're getting to control.
Exactly.
And that can be bad.
Exactly.
Really bad.
Right. And so naming order, I only am responsible for the order in my life.
Right.
Not for everybody else's.
I don't mean to keep bringing up stories, but it reminds me of that general that said, if you get up in the morning and you make your bed, you can start your day off with an accomplishment.
Exactly.
And so for you, it starts off with order. And he's saying that if you make your bed, you can say, I've accomplished one thing today. I have made my bed.
And my pillows look like they could be taken a picture and be put in a magazine. Exactly.
I so believe that. You're going to have to take a picture of that for me sometime.
I will.
Okay.
I will. So, you know, just as we close this session, I want to talk a little bit about the 12 steps of insanity. And this is what it says. We admit we were powerless over nothing. We could manage our lives perfectly, and we could manage those of everyone else that would allow it. Step 2, came to believe that there was no power greater than ourselves and the rest of the world was insane. Step 3, made a decision to have our loved ones and friends turn their wills and their lives over to our care. Step 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of everyone we knew except ourselves.
Wow.
Step 5, admitted to the whole world at large the exact nature of their wrongs and not our own. Step 6, we're entirely ready to make others straighten up and do right, but we stay chaotic ourselves. Step 7, demanded others to enter, to either shape up or ship out, even if we were to stay the same. Step 8, made a list of everyone who had ever harmed us and became willing to go to any lengths to get even with them, even if it hurt us. Step 9, got direct revenge on such people whenever possible, except when to do so would cost us our own lives or, at the very least, a jail sentence. But I was willing to do anything else but go to jail or hurt myself. Step 10, continue to take inventory of others, and when they were wrong, promptly and repeatedly told them about it, even if I knew I was probably wrong as well. Step 11, salt through nagging to improve our relations with others as we couldn't understand them at all, asking only that they knuckle under and do things our way. Step 12, having had a complete physical and emotional and spiritual breakdown as a result of these steps, we try to blame it on others and get sympathy and pity in all of our affairs. That's the 12 steps of insanity.
Oh my goodness. I was just shaking my head the entire time you were reading that, because that hit really close to home, because I've done so many of those in my life.
Yeah, I'm sure we all have.
Oh my goodness. Oh, that's so, there's so much truth, but it's like, ugh, like, oh man, I really did do that, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we do.
Yeah.
The 12 steps of insanity.
Oh, that's so true.
And expect everyone else to change, and we can just stay the same.
Yep. Yep. Only if they were to do X, Y, and Z, my life would be so much better. Yep. Yep.
And I tell people all the time, I don't know if the world has changed, but God has changed me, and I see the world different.
Yeah, that's good.
So.
Amen. Well, that is a fantastic place to end this episode. On our next episode, you'll want to come back, because we're going to talk about the steps to wholeness, and this is going to be a really great conversation. Till next time. Hey there. Before you go, I wanted to share with you a cause that is very near and dear to Lucretia's heart. That is City Gospel Mission. City Gospel Mission has operated in the Cincinnati area since 1924. Providing recovery services to those who have life-controlling issues, food for the hungry, shelter for the homeless, youth services, and job services. To find out more about how to give or to volunteer, go to www.citygospelmission.org. That's www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by Lucretia Bowman.